Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The War on Prices: How Popular Misconceptions About Inflation, Prices, and Value Create Bad Policy, is a 2024 nonfiction economics book edited by Ryan A. Bourne. It brings together a range of economists and policy analysts to explain why prices are often misunderstood in public debate and why those misunderstandings lead to poor policy. The book is organized around three broad themes: inflation, market prices and price controls, and value. Its purpose is not only to criticize common political talking points, but also to show how basic price theory helps explain real-world outcomes. Across the essays, the authors argue that inflation is primarily a monetary phenomenon, that price controls usually create shortages and distort incentives, and that market prices communicate information that central planning cannot replace. The result is a readable but serious defense of price signals, consumer choice, and economic reasoning in public policy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, inflation is treated as a monetary problem, not a story of greed or isolated shortages. A major theme of the book is that inflation is frequently misdiagnosed in public discussion. The contributors emphasize the quantity theory of money, and the idea that sustained inflation comes from too much money chasing too few goods, rather than from a few businesses raising prices or from one-off supply disruptions alone. This distinction matters because it changes the policy response. If inflation is mistaken for corporate greed or a temporary bottleneck, politicians may reach for symbolic interventions that do little to address the real cause. The book argues that broad price increases, including wage growth, signal an inflationary process, while isolated price jumps often reflect relative price changes. That analytical separation helps readers understand why some price movements are normal in a changing economy, and why others indicate a falling purchasing power of money. The book's strength here is that it translates macroeconomic ideas into a practical framework for judging current events, rather than treating inflation as a purely technical problem for specialists. Secondly, price controls are shown to reduce shortages only on paper while creating real economic damage. Another central argument is that price controls do not eliminate scarcity. They conceal it. When governments cap prices below market levels, they may make inflation statistics look better in the short run, but the underlying allocation problem remains. The essays explain that controlled prices distort relative prices, so consumers have less reason to conserve and producers have less reason to supply the controlled good. The likely results are shortages, lower product quality, longer waiting times, and in some cases, black markets. The book also highlights how price controls often reappear in politically popular forms such as rent controls, anti-price gouging laws, and wage controls, even though the basic logic is the same. Rather than solving hardship, these measures often shift costs to less visible groups and reduce the flexibility of markets to respond to shocks. By consistently applying the same reasoning across different examples, the book makes a broader point: policies that suppress prices may look compassionate or decisive, but they usually work against the coordination function that prices perform in a market economy. Thirdly, dynamic pricing is presented as a signal that expands supply instead of exploiting consumers. The book does not stop at defending existing market prices. It also explains why variable or dynamic pricing can be socially useful. In public debate, price spikes are often framed as unfair because they seem to punish consumers at moments of high demand. The essays argue that this view is too static. Higher prices during busy periods send information that demand is strong and supply is scarce, which can attract new suppliers, encourage existing firms to expand capacity, and guide resources toward the most urgent uses. This is why surge pricing in services such as ride-sharing or higher weekend prices at capacity-constrained businesses can improve long-term availability rather than merely extracting rents. The book's point is not that every dynamic pricing arrangement is perfect, but that price flexibility often performs an important coordinating role. By allowing prices to rise when demand rises, markets create incentives for more supply and better matching between buyers and sellers. That makes dynamic pricing a useful contrast to price caps, which suppress the information that would otherwise trigger adjustment. Fourthly, the book uses real policy cases to test common beliefs about fairness and intervention. A distinctive feature of the collection is its use of concrete policy issues instead of abstract theory alone. The essays address familiar debates such as rent controls, minimum wage laws, healthcare pricing, anti-price gouging rules, and gender pay questions. This matters because many policy arguments are driven by moral intuition. If a price looks high, people assume it is exploitative, and if a wage looks low, they assume it is unfair. The book pushes readers to ask what happens after the policy is introduced, not just whether the intention sounds attractive. For example, minimum wage increases can change hiring patterns by making employers more selective about whom they hire, while anti-gouging laws can discourage shipments of urgently needed goods into disaster-stricken areas. These examples show that intervention often redistributes costs rather than removing them. The book is especially effective because it uses ordinary policy controversies to demonstrate a general rule fairness in outcomes cannot be judged from a single price tag alone, since prices are part of a larger system of coordination, incentives, and trade-offs. Lastly, market prices are defended as essential information systems for economic coordination. Beyond its specific policy disputes, the book makes a broader case for the social value of market prices themselves. Prices are presented as signals that summarize information about scarcity, consumer demand, opportunity cost, and production possibilities. No central authority can easily gather or update this information at the speed and scale that decentralized prices provide. This is why attempts to override prices so often lead to unintended consequences. Policymakers can set a number, but they cannot recreate the information and incentive structure embedded in genuine market exchange. The essays repeatedly return to the idea that prosperity depends on allowing prices to move in response to changing conditions. When prices are free to adjust, they guide producers toward the uses that consumers value most and help buyers make informed choices about what to consume, save, or substitute. This perspective gives the book its unifying logic. It is not merely defending higher or lower prices in isolated cases. It is defending the price system as a mechanism that coordinates millions of decisions in a complex economy better than political discretion usually can. In conclusion, The War on Prices is best suited to readers who want a clear, policy-oriented introduction to how economists think about inflation, market prices, and price controls. Policymakers, students, journalists, and general readers who follow economic debates will benefit from its direct treatment of ideas that are often discussed in simplified or misleading ways. Its practical value lies in showing how to distinguish genuine inflation from relative price changes, why controls often worsen shortages, and how price flexibility can improve supply responses. What makes it stand out in the economics category is its structure as an essay collection instead of offering a single narrow argument. It brings multiple authors to bear on different but connected misconceptions. That gives the book a broader explanatory range while keeping the analysis grounded in basic price theory. It is also unusually accessible for a book dealing with serious economic topics, which makes it useful both as an entry point and as a corrective to common political narratives about prices. Readers looking for a defense of market coordination that is concrete rather than ideological will find it especially valuable. If you would like to support Ryan A. Bourne, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.